To the book of Luke, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23. How many of you have ever thought about what will happen when you die? Some people say, well, I don't like to think about that. Well, I don't guess anybody likes to think about it in one sense. I have seen people brought to the place where they were glad to die in pain and agony and issues like that. But have you ever considered what would happen if you were to die? There's a lot of ideas about how you go to heaven, what heaven is all about. I was reading somewhere where a guy was saying there was a guy in his city. He charged $500. He would do a funeral for anyone. The $500 he would guarantee that he'd say nothing negative. It'd all be positive. Everybody he would preach to heaven. And everybody he would tell that they were in heaven, and he would comfort the family by letting them know that they were in heaven, regardless of what their life was. And the guy was so busy that he had to turn people down because people wanted those left behind to hear something along those lines. Can I say that it doesn't matter what the guy says over your casket? Can I say it doesn't matter what many people tell you? This morning we want to look at a time when a guy was saved right before he died. It was a very unusual time because the person dying right beside of him was none other than the Son of God. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 32, chapter 23. Of Luke. Keep your Bibles open there. And there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. Now, malefactors means that they were criminals. These were thieves. Verse number 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and they cast lots. The people stood, beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Now let me say something here before I get into this message. Jesus was fixing to die that very day. He was dying for a reason. He was an innocent man. This was an unusual day. He'd been brought before Pilate. And he'd been presented to Pilate by the religious leaders. They wanted him killed. They wanted him crucified. Pilate examined him and found that there was no fault in him and wanted to release him. They did not want him released. They wanted him crucified. Pilate beat him. Had him beat, had him mocked, brought him before the people and thought that, well, Maybe if he stuck a murderer on the other side and presented to them to release one of the two, that they would release Jesus. And yet they said, release Barabbas, the murderer. He said, well, what would thou have me to do with this man? They said, crucify him. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and the heads of our children. And so Pilate, seeing that there was no way to get himself out of it, pretended to wash his hands of the matter. But yet Jesus was turned over to be crucified. He was taken to a place called Calvary, and there he was crucified between two thieves. One on the right hand, one on the left. This morning, I want us to look at a couple things about what Jesus did there upon the cross. Now, let me say this before we get into the message. Jesus, in the book of Luke, chapter 16, had told about two men dying. One would go to hell, and he opened his eyes in hell, being in torment. The other one was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, into paradise. Now, before Jesus resurrected, both of those were in the heart of the earth, divided by a great gulf. When Jesus resurrected, he took Abraham's bosom with him up into heaven. To be absent from the body now is to be present with the Lord in heaven. But before Jesus died, paradise was in the heart of the earth. That's why Jesus already predicted they wanted him to give a sign that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. He said the only sign this evil, adulterous generation shall have is the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, so shall the Son of Man be, or the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so Jesus was going to go down to the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Therefore, that very day, the thief that was saved was going to meet him in paradise. And he was going to be able to be in paradise that day. Now, let me say this before I get in this message. If you're not saved by Christ, you cannot go to heaven. Amen. Only those who have been saved by the Son of God. Amen. And so this morning, I want to show you in the scripture how this thief got saved. But before I show you how he got saved, we first have to ask, why would God, the Son of God, even save him? Well, as Jesus was led there and hung upon the cross of Calvary, one of the first things that he said when he looked out over the people, and by the way, let me say, this mob was not some usual mob. Usually when someone was crucified, there would be a small gathering of family and different ones, and they would be angry at Rome, and they would be angry at the soldiers that nailed them to the cross, and they would be bitter at those things that was happening. But this day was different. There was a great multitude of people showed up. But not only was a great multitude showed up, but they all seemed to be in unison of agreeing with what was happening to this man in the middle. Jesus, the Son of God. He'd done no wrong. He'd come, he'd healed the sick, he'd caused the blind to see, he'd raised the dead, he cast out devils, he did all kinds of things to show that he was the Son of God. And they'd bring hundreds and thousands would bring their sick, and he would heal them. And yet on this day, everyone cried out, crucify him. The religious leaders wanted him dead and gone. So here hung Jesus, and he looked out over the crowd, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now let me just share something with you here before I get into the message. Those of you who are bitter at someone and can't forgive someone, let me give you a little lesson from Jesus how to forgive. Number one, instead of talking to everybody else about the problem, talk to your Heavenly Father. Amen. Jesus was talking to God and said, Father, forgive them. Whenever Jesus told us how to forgive, he told us that when we pray, this is how we ought to pray, that we ought to learn to forgive. Somebody said, well, I'll forgive them when they realize and recognize how they've hurt me or what they've done. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You got to forgive them even if they never come to the knowledge of what they've done to you or the hurt that they've caused you. You've got to learn to forgive. The Bible says that we are to forgive others because God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Amen. So those of us who are saved ought to be able to find forgiveness in whatever's going on in our lives. But let's look back and see why would Jesus, hanging there, fixing to die, why would he take time to save a thief? Well, first of all, he took time because he loved him. And can I tell you something this morning? He loves you too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you. He loved you enough to send his only begotten Son. You know why Jesus was hanging on the cross between those two thieves? Because of the love of God for the world. God was making a way that man might be saved. You could never come to a holy, righteous God because you were a sinner. But Jesus came, and he took on a body like you and I, a man, and he took on that body, and what he did was he walked upon this earth, and he walked in a body like ours, yet without sin. And so therefore, when it come time to die, he offered himself a sacrifice for the whole world to die in their place, a substitute. The Bible calls it a propitiation, that he could die, and through him we might be saved. God accepted his death that you and I would not have to die in our sins, but we could be saved through the death of Jesus. So first of all, Jesus was willing to save this thief because he loved him. And so you need to realize that God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So listen to me very carefully. If you die in your sins and go to hell, and you die without Christ, it will be your fault and on you, not on Christ. He died for you the same way he died for the thief. And that's the second point, that he's died for everybody. The Bible says, somebody said, well, you don't know what I've done in my life. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. The Bible said that whosoever will, let him come. Everybody has the opportunity. Now, I know there's souls that preach a doctrine that you were either born this way and you were born and predestined to be saved, you born predestined to be lost. Don't buy into that. Whosoever will, let him come. But you have to make a choice. Somebody said, well, I've just always been saved. No, you haven't. You can't show me one instance in the Bible where a person got truly saved that didn't have a time and place in their life where they could go back to when they were saved and they called upon the Lord. And so therefore, Jesus died for your sins. He died for the sins of the thief. Not only that, but he also there was willing to save the thief to show that he was the way that you get saved. Now listen to me. Man has created several different avenues. Some teach that, well, you can go, when you die, you go to a place and your money and indulgences and prayers will get you up or down. Don't buy into that. The Bible teaches no such thing. Somebody said, well, when I was a baby, they baptized me. Don't buy into that. The Bible teaches no such thing. You say, well, what does it take? Well, Jesus is the one, and he is a way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's not another name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved than the name of Jesus. Now, if you've not been saved through Jesus, you've not been saved. Somebody said, well, I do the best I can. Good men die and go to hell all the time, what we would consider good men. People come to and say, well, preach my daddy's funeral. I said, well, was your daddy saved? Oh, he's a good man. I just said, I didn't ask you that. Oh, he was a good father. I said, I didn't ask you that. What I want to know is, has he been saved? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And so therefore, you say, well, I consider him good. You might consider him good, but God don't. He considers him a sinner. So therefore, if you're going to go to heaven, you have to be saved, but you have to come through Christ. So therefore, Christ was showing us, even the thief on the cross that day could be saved, but he had to go through Jesus. Jesus is a way to save you. Not only that, but also he showed us that it was by grace. That thief had nothing to offer Jesus that day. He was hanging there. And by the way, right before this thief had a change of heart, both of them was riling upon Jesus and mocking Jesus and saying all kinds of things to Jesus on both sides. But all of a sudden, something got a hold of this one. He realized he's fixing to die, and he realized that maybe there's something he needed to do. And so therefore, he turned to him. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." But that thief had nothing to offer. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I've done the best I could. I've been a good dad. I've been a good employee. I've been a good mother. I've been a good sister, a brother." What? Listen, all that might be fine and good in its place, but it won't not get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is God. And the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't work your way to heaven. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can't perform enough good works to go to heaven. It's by grace, something you don't deserve, that God gives you salvation. Amen. And everybody who is saved by grace. Amen. Okay? Through faith. Now, not only that, you say, "Well, preacher, I have no hope as a sinner." Jesus is also showing us that thief on the cross, everybody has a hope. Now, let's look just a few moments. I'm not going to hold you long. I'm going to get right to the point, and I'm going to bring you to a question or two here in a moment. How was this thief saved? Look back in your Bibles just a moment, verse number 40. The Bible says, "But the other answering rebuked." Now remember, just shortly before this, he was hanging there and he was making all kinds of fun of Christ. He was mocking him, rebuking him, saying things. But now he come to change of heart. He said, "The other answer rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation?" And so first of all, he feared God. All of a sudden, the fear of God came upon him. You know why people don't get saved as much as what we do? Now, it was good to see Lakeland come. And I know in preaching and watching him a little bit lately, he'd been troubled about, and he was worried. He was troubled. Some people said, "Well, preacher, you ought never preach on hell. It scares people." What do you do? Just let him go there? You know, Jesus preached on it. Paul preached on it. The other apostles preached on it. And what you need to understand is this. You need to understand that you preach, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. This guy was fixing to die. Let me ask you this. If you knew you were going to die today, are you ready to go? Are you saved? Where do you stand this morning? The Bible says in the latter days, which we believe we're in, that the fear of God would not be before people's eyes. There would be no fear of God. They'd just say things and do things, and they wouldn't have any concern about the future, what was going to come down the road or nothing. And so therefore, they live their life. They eat, drink, and be merry, and hope at the end it'll all work out well. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, there was a man in there that thought the same thing, and God called him a fool. You're a fool if that's the way you're living your life. You better fear God enough to prepare for the time when you're going to die. You think you're not going to die? You're going to die. Right. Amen. I'm going to die. When? I don't know. When you're going to die? You don't know that either. But I'll tell you this. Whenever you do, you better be ready. Amen. Because the Bible says it's appointed man wants to die and after this judgment. We're all going to die, folks. And so we better make preparations. Now, this thief probably had lived a life and had not taken time to thought about it, but all of a sudden he's hanging there. Now he's fixing to die. He gets thinking about it, and he begins to fear God. And he looked at the other one, and the other one kept running his mouth. He said, "Don't you fear God? Don't you realize what's fixing to take place? We're going to stand before God. We're going to have to give an account of ourselves." And so here he began to have fear of God. Second of all, notice if you would, in verse number 40, it says, "As thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation," in verse 41, "and we indeed justly, for we receive our due reward of our deeds." In other words, you know what he was saying? He said, "Listen, I'm a sinner." He said, this man is dying and he's not done nothing. He said, both of us, we deserve what we're getting because we're sinners. Now listen to me very carefully. Are you listening? You'll never get saved unless you fear God. The second thing is, you'll never get saved unless you see yourself as a sinner. If you think you're okay, you think you're going to squeeze by, you think God's going to give you an excuse, you think God's going to give you a pass, you think God's going to make an exception for you to go to heaven, it doesn't happen that way. If you're going to be saved, number one, if you're going to come to the Lord and get saved, you've got to fear God. Second of all, you have to recognize the fact that you're a sinner. The Bible says Jesus didn't come to save those which was well, but he came to save those which was sick. He came to seek and save that which was lost. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Listen, if you'd been able to save yourself, Jesus wouldn't have to come to the world. He came to die for you and me, that you and I might be saved. But you have to recognize, you have to have fear of God, then you have to recognize you're a sinner. And you know what? That thief hanging there, he began to realize he's going to die and face God, and he began to realize that he was a sinner. Now, in his young days when he was thieving and stealing, he might have laughed, cut up, thought it was a joke, but now it wasn't no joke. Now he's fixing to go out and face God. He recognizes that he's done wrong. And can I tell you this? You'll never come to Jesus and be saved unless you recognize the fact that you're a sinner in the eyes of God. The third thing is, knows this, in verse number 42, and he said unto Jesus, what? Lord. He recognized who Jesus was. The Bible says, who shall have called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to me just a minute. Do you realize that Jesus is the only one that can save you? You say, well, preacher, I'm going to come and I want you to pray for me. I can't pray you into heaven. Do I want you to go there? Yes. But there's only one that can save you. Lakeland came to his dad and said, Dad, I need to be saved. Kelly can't save him. All Kelly could do is point him to Jesus. He has to call upon the Lord. Now, if he didn't do that, he's not saved. If he did do it, he's saved. But Jesus is the one, and you have to realize that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to realize that Jesus is Lord. You have to be willing to come to him. And so here, he not only recognized he was a sinner, he recognized that Jesus was Lord, his only hope. Therefore, he didn't look and say, listen, all you Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, pray for me while I'm hanging up here. He didn't look at them. He didn't say, listen, Pilate, save me. He knew there was only one that could save him that day. Him fixing to face God and him fearing God, him dying as a sinner. He looked to the only one that could help him. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. He went to the only source that could save him. And listen to me, Jesus is your only hope of being saved. Next, he called upon him. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Listen to me very seriously. Everybody here, if you're saved, according to the Bible, and the places and instances where God said that somebody got saved, in every single situation, there was a time and specific time and place when they called upon the Lord to save them. Can you go back to a time in your life and you say, it was at that place and that time when I got saved? I can go back to a time in my life at Sinking Creek Baptist Church. I can go back to the very night and very place when I got saved.
Amen.
That was when I called upon the name of the Lord. Do you have that in your life? I had this woman one time told me, she said, I've just always been saved. I said, if that's the case, then you've never been saved. You better have a time and a place in your life when you humbled yourself and you bow before the Lord and you ask him to save you. And when you did that, you better had the fear of God in your life. You recognized that you were a sinner. You better recognize that Jesus was your only hope of being saved, and you called upon him to save you, just as this thief did. And last but not least, all he had to do, he had nothing to offer. All he could do is fall upon the mercy of God.
Amen.
When I got saved, I didn't come before God and say, "Now, God, you're getting a good one here. God, have you seen all the things that I've done? God, don't you know what I'm going to be?" When I came before God, I had to fall on my face and say, "God, I'm lost. I'm undeserving.
Yes. Amen.
I can't save myself. And I know if I die in my sins, I know where I'm going. I need to be saved. And Lord, my only hope is Jesus. Lord, would you please save me?"
Yes, amen.
"I don't deserve it. I know what I deserve. But I just fell upon the mercy of the Lord." And you know what he did that night? He saved me. You know what happened to the thief that day? Now listen to me. He didn't have to take him out and baptize him to get him saved. He didn't have to go and say, "Well, you go do all these things and you'll be saved." When he looked at him and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom," he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." From the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and confession with your mouth to the Lord. Can you go to a time and place in your life when you've been saved? Let me ask you this. If it was your day as it was a thief's day, are you ready to go? Would you die and go to heaven? And can I just give you this before we sing a verse of invitation? The most dangerous thing with life. Now listen to me very carefully. This is one of the most serious things I'm going to tell you. The Bible is specifically clear. You get one shot at life. And when life's over with, there's no redos. You can't come back and change your mind and relive it and find salvation. You die without Christ, you go through eternity without Christ. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So today, if God's dealing your heart, you ought to come. It may be your day, just as a thief's day. He came that day to the cross of Calvary, and the last thing on his mind was that he'd be saved that day. While he come, he had bitterness. He was mad at the world. He was mad at Jesus. He made fun of Jesus. But boy, later on, he had no idea that before he left that day, he'd be saved. Maybe you came this morning and you had no idea when you came in this building that today God was going to save your soul. But God is speaking to you, and the Spirit of God is drawing you to come, and you need to step out and come.
Amen.
Would you come this morning? And therefore, you look back in your life, you say, "Boy, that morning at Jordan Baptist Church, I got saved." If God's dealing you, would you come? You must choose. You make those decisions, just as the thief did. You had both thieves. Jesus died for both of them. He loved both of them. But one went to heaven, one went to hell because of choices they made. Where do you stand this morning as we stand? Give a song of invitation, Brother Porter. Maybe God's dealing your heart to come, and you need to come this morning. Would you come and obey him this morning? How about it?